This morning, God's Word comes to us from Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. We'll be reading just the first seven verses of this chapter. Isaiah 60, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and exult, because the evidence of the sea, abundance of the sea, shall be turned to you. The wealth of nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense. They shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this past week we had the joy of gathering together in worship and also as families and remembering the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. He came into the world. Isaiah, we have seen, has spoken about that coming. And Isaiah 60, this last time of the year we turn to the book of Isaiah, reminds us of the glory that we celebrate. That Christ came as the light of the world. And Isaiah gives this glorious picture and this glorious prophecy to Israel to arise and to shine themselves, for their light had come. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was born. And we celebrated that this past week. And it's appropriate for Isaiah to use this picture as he speaks of the coming Messiah. Arise and shine, for your light has come. For so many times in Scripture, God and light go together. We think about when God led His people out of the captivity and led them out of Egypt. How did He go ahead of them, children? He went ahead of them as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Light. The presence of God leading His people to the promised land. We read this morning from the law of God again, and He spoke to them that law from Mount Sinai. Now, what did Mount Sinai look like when God was there? Was it a still, quiet mountain? No, on the top were the thunderclouds and the lightning. The presence of God in light on the mountain. In fact, it was so bright and so glorious that if we'd read it farther in Exodus chapter 20, Moses would tell the people that God would speak to them, and they would say, "Oh, don't let God speak to us. He's too glorious. He's too powerful. He's too mighty." They saw the lightning and the thunder. "No, Moses, you speak to us. We'll listen to you. But not God, for He is too glorious." It's appropriate for Isaiah to use this picture of light when referring to the Messiah. Your light has come. Israel in the Old Testament would build the tabernacle, a symbol of God's presence moving with His people. And what happened when that tabernacle was finally completed? In Exodus chapter 40 we read, "And the glory of God descended upon the tabernacle." That we call it the Shekinah glory, that cloud of glory, the presence of God dwelling in the midst of His people on the tabernacle. And the same was true when the temple was built.
What happened when they finished building the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8? The glory of God descended upon the temple. In fact, it was so glorious, the priests couldn't even do their work. They had to stay away. Because God's glory, His majesty, the brightness was there. Light is an appropriate symbol that Isaiah uses for the coming of the Messiah. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Of course, that same usage is picked up in the New Testament. We think about the Gospel of John. And John gives us something of a Christmas story, although certainly different than the Luke 2 account. John was the most theological of the Gospel writers. And so even his account of Christ's coming is much more theological. John says in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's talking about Jesus, children. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not a thing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." He speaks about Jesus coming as light. He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He is not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Jesus would later in John chapter 8 and John chapter 9 refer to himself as the light of the world. It's an appropriate symbol that Isaiah uses. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And we read from the Epistle of John again, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. That beautiful picture of perfection, of light, of glory. And this was the light that was coming into the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. The contrast of darkness and light. Isaiah speaks about a darkness that would cover the earth and a thick darkness upon all the peoples. He's referring to the captivity. Remember that Isaiah is telling the people that they are going to go away and be captives. But that in spite of that, God would not leave them there. There would be this light that would rise upon them. It reminds them of their captivity in Egypt. When God would again send a light, he would send Moses to come and be a light for the people, not the true light, but a light that would lead them into the promised land through Moses and Joshua. They would go into captivity once again to Babylon, but that would not be the end for them. There would be this coming light to take them out of captivity, out of darkness. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. The darkness of captivity. Isaiah speaks not only of the physical captivity that Israel would experience, but he speaks to us. The darkness, the captivity that we were in to sin and to death, like darkness, like thick darkness, keeping us from enjoying the glory of the light, the captivity to our sin, the darkness that even now still remains in our hearts. We know we've been redeemed. We know we've been saved. We know we are being sanctified. And yet still in some of the dark recesses of our heart, that darkness resides. Thick darkness. Oh, there are some sins that we readily and willingly confess to God. And there are those other sins that we harbor deep within our hearts that we actually enjoy committing and will not confess. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness all the peoples. But that would not be the end. The Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. Darkness. The darkness of sin, the darkness of captivity, the darkness of slavery to death. And yet Isaiah says, arise. If we sometimes look at ourselves and say, you know, I look at the sin still remaining within me. I look at the things that I say and the things that I do, and I wonder, am I really a child of God? Could God really forgive the sins I have committed? The word of the prophet comes. Arise. Shine. Your light has come. It's an appropriate symbol to point to the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that light that is given comes for a couple different reasons. It comes for a couple different purposes. One purpose that light has is that light exposes imperfection. Kids, back in the days when Isaiah was being written and he was prophesying, if you wanted to buy a pot to make your morning cereal in, you would go to the marketplace and you'd look and there'd be pots for sale. And you can still kind of do this if you go down to Mexico and go to Tijuana. You can go and shop on the streets and you want to know if you're getting a good pot made of clay or a bad pot. Well, what you do is you take that pot and you hold it up into the sunlight. And look at that pot up against the sun, and the sun will reveal any imperfections. You can see any small cracks because the light pierces through and shows where the imperfections are. That's what light does. It exposes imperfections. And so too with Jesus Christ and the coming of His light into the world. He came into the darkness, but He also exposes the imperfections that still dwell in us. Sometimes we are overly concerned with our sin. Could we still be a child of God? Sometimes we have the other problem, just as bad. We look at our lives and we say, you know, we're really doing pretty good. We're not such bad people. After all, we go to church twice every Sunday, we give our offerings, we work in the church, we take care of our children, we're kind to our neighbors. You know, we're really doing pretty well for ourselves. You know, God got a pretty good deal in choosing to save us, because we're really okay. Look at us compared to our pagan neighbor. We're doing all right. And the light comes. The light and the perfection of the Word coming into the world. The light of pure holiness as the standard for our actions. And that light exposes our own imperfections. That we are not that great. We are not that wonderful. We have still so far to go in the process of sanctification. You see, as long as I'm doing pretty well, and I think, you know, I've got it all together, I really don't need a Savior. I really don't need someone to save me from my sins because my sins are so small and so tiny, it's not that big of a deal. But when exposed to the light, to the standard of perfection that God has given in His perfect, righteous, holy law, suddenly my imperfections are glaring. It exposes the imperfections, and I see my need for a Savior, and I'm brought once again to my knees. Oh, Lord, I need You. How could I have thought that I was doing pretty well? I fall so far short every day. Light exposes imperfections. That's one of the things that it does. And another thing that a light does then, a light points the way. A light gives direction. It does give illumination. Imagine, kids, if we turned off all the lights here in the room and we blocked the windows on the back doors. There's no windows in the wall. It would be completely dark, thick darkness. And then maybe I would reach under the pulpit and I would take out one small candle and it would give light. And I could walk down the aisle and I could lead you one by one all out to where the light is upstairs again. Light leads the way. Light gives direction. Light in a dark room shows us how to get out. Because if it was all dark here and we all said, time to go, we'd start crashing into each other and all those kind of things. But one light could lead us out and bring us upstairs to safety. Light points the way. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus Christ came as the light of the world to show us the way of salvation, to show us that there was hope for those who dwelt in darkness. There was those who were still in captivity, and that was to put their faith in Him. For He came and He perfectly fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. And He came and He perfectly lived on earth and He died a perfect death that He might perfectly accomplish salvation. He was the one true light that came into the world. He was the one way of salvation. No other way, no other light source, only Jesus Christ who came and dwelt with His people. Light points the way. Jesus, as the light of the world, gives us freedom from captivity. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from the slavery to sin. Because He reminds us, you have been redeemed. You have been saved. You have been sanctified. Now live the lives you have been called to live. Light points the way. Freedom from captivity. And Jesus Christ came as the one true light of the world. There's no other light. He is the only one. Oh, there are pretenders to the light. There are other men who would say, follow me, I can show you the way to salvation. I can do things for you. There could be self-help people who will help you be better people. But only one is the true light. The one spoken of by Isaiah. The perfect one with no imperfections. The one who perfectly lights the way and leads and guides. Arise and shine, for your light, Jesus Christ, has come. And that's what we celebrated this past week. The coming of Christ into the world. The coming of the one who would expose imperfections, point out our need for Him, and then perfectly accomplish salvation for us. That's what light does. It exposes the imperfect, and it points the way to the perfect, and releases us from captivity. And notice what Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This was a message, first of all, for the people of God. It was a message, first of all, for Old Testament Israel. They would go into captivity. They would be taken away, but God would not leave them there. They would receive the light that would come in that very, very dark place. It is the same truth for the New Testament church. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your hearts will thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. For God's people, the message is given. Which is why I've said over and over the past month, Christmas is for believers. It is for us who understand Jesus Christ. We are the ones who should celebrate the coming of the light into the world. The world left to itself won't get it. They still live in the darkness. They can see glimmers of the light, but don't understand unless we open our mouths and tell them. This is what the story is about. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And Isaiah recognizes that as well. Verse 3. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Verse 5, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and those from Sheba shall come. They'll bring gold and frankincense and bring good news, the praises of the Lord. The nations will come when the light comes being explained to them. And the nations too will have their eyes opened. Israel was to be a light to the nations. They were to be a particular people, the people of God, who would live in a distinctive way, and the nations would notice. And God would bring the nations in to His people. In the coming of the light, now that glory shines out from the people of God. We are still called, as God's people, to live distinctive lives, to look a particular way, that the world might see us and say, there's something different. There's something special. There's a spark. There's a light going on there. They shall come with acceptance upon my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. God will adorn His holy temple by bringing the nations in. And He does that. He does that through the power of His Spirit and by reflecting the light through His people. We are called to be reflectors of the light of Jesus Christ. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The light comes upon us, and we are to be reflectors of that light to those around us. What do people see when they look at your life? Do they see the light of Jesus Christ? When they look at your relationship with your husband or with your wife or with your children, do they see the glory of the Lord shining upon you? Or is it still darkness? Thick darkness that covers the people. God calls us to distinctive lives, to light-bearing lives. He calls us to faithful obedience to the standard He has given to us, the glory of His law. And by His Spirit, He allows us to begin to reflect that law and that light to those around us. What do your friends, what does your family see when they look at you? Some of you are employees, some of you are employers. Does the light shine in your workplace? Is it clear that you do your work distinctively, differently, particularly, because you know the light of the world has come and you desire to reflect that light to those around you? Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That is our challenge for the days to come. I guess I have to leave you with two questions this morning. The first question is, do you know the light? Do you know Jesus Christ and the truth of who He is? Not just an interesting man, not just a great prophet, not just a historical figure. Do you know Jesus Christ as your light? And if you don't, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to bow the knee and embrace the light and know the truth of the forgiveness of sins, be taken out of darkness, out of thick darkness, out of captivity, and have the light of Jesus' love shine upon you. The first question we have to ask is, do you know the light? And the second question, if you know the light, what have you done with the light? Have you kept it hidden within yourself? Have you kept that light tucked away inside? Oh, enjoying all the benefits of having your sins forgiven? Or have you reflected the light?
Have you shown the glory of Jesus Christ to those around you? In your actions and in your words. God allows us each to work in a different sphere of influence. And He calls us by our actions and by our words to be reflectors of the light. Have you told someone of the glory of Jesus Christ? Have you reminded them this Christmas season that we celebrate the light coming into the world? A world of darkness, a world of sin, a world of captivity, but we can arise and shine and celebrate because our light has come. May God continue to shine His favor upon us. May He continue to put His Spirit in us that we can say with the prophet Isaiah, "We shall arise and we shall shine, for our light has come." Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, for your word, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We praise you for all parts of your word, for the stories that tell us of your ways with your people, and for the message that you give us through your prophets. A message that was not only for Old Testament Israel, a message that comes to us today as well. We who live on this side of the Incarnation, we who live on this side of Christmas, know even more the truth of what Isaiah was saying. May we take that truth to heart. May we pray most earnestly, even today, O God, that your Spirit would shine in our hearts. That you would illumine in us those places of imperfection yet, that unconfessed sin, that sin we still hold on to. That you would cause us to confess that openly before you. To confess the truth that we are fallen and that we need you. And then to know that you, by your Spirit, will completely and wonderfully pardon and remove the captivity to that sin. Well, Lord God, then use us as we go out from this place. We have been strengthened once again this morning, but it is a strengthening that we might use for your service. As we go this coming week into our workplaces, into our homes once again, into our relationship with family and friends, may your light clearly shine forth in all that we say and in all that we do. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.